The godly man in Psalms 1 in your Bible is cultivating deeper roots. That's what the scripture tells us. He is described as one that loves the Lord and meditates on his word day and night. Amen? Cultivating deeper roots than where we are right now. In Psalms 1 and 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the person that has the deep roots. Amen? So many today, I have found, in traveling a lot, seeing a lot of people, talking to a lot of people, have shallow roots, almost like that tree down my backyard. The roots are sort of shallow compared to the Word of God. So there's little growth, little fruit, and little prosperity in our lives if we don't have that. I saw something in a song there, and I have a note made on it, is the point of reference, and it may not be you, it may be you, I don't really know, but the point of reference has got to be the Lord and the Word of God. The point of reference. Today, many times we don't have him as the point of reference. Can you say amen? So we're talking here and getting your thoughts moving that we're living. How many of you agree that we're living in a different day today than we've ever lived before? Let me see your hands. Ever. Thank God. I have never lived in a day like we're living. So we're living in a godless society today. And it's influencing people. If I told you some of the things that I know that I deal with in the state of Pennsylvania, you probably wouldn't even believe them. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening, that's all. And that's what really fits right into this. So we're talking here about a taproot. A taproot is the main root under a tree. A taproot. Look it up. You can check it in the internet and find out exactly what it is. But that's where we're living. If our taproot in our lives does not get down into the soil, naturally in a tree, it's going to topple. But so will you. If the taproot in our lives and our soul doesn't go deep into the Word of God, into the depth of him, then we're going to topple. Amen? You have to get this. I want to make sure you get this before we go into it. Because what happens is, if the taproot doesn't go down, the surface roots in your life and my life, we just suck up everything that's in the world. I can take you down yet. I still haven't done anything to that tree. And I can take you down, and that's exactly what those roots of that tree did. There's just a lot of roots, but they're surface roots. They're surface. It's not like the taproot. The taproot's got to go down deep. If it does, it will absolutely hold the tree. If your taproot goes down into the depths and you cultivate the Word of God in your life, and you go down into the bottom and you cultivate deeper roots, you'll stand. You'll make it. There is no doubt about it. You'll make it. And so the scripture tells us here that Martin Luther, I'm going to get back to him because Martin Luther was a taproot man. He was into the Word of God. He knew what the Word of God said. He knew the God of the Word. Can you say amen? He said, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen. That's exactly what it is. And that's where we are in a society. If your taproot does not go down, society will influence you and take you away from Jesus. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Exactly. He that endureth to the end. We're not to the end yet. I don't think we're to the end. We're close, but we're not really there yet. I got to thinking about this in 2 Kings 19 and 30. The scripture says a remnant of the family of Judah yet again will sink down roots and raise up fruit. will sink down roots and raise up fruit. You know who I got to thinking about in this? Noah. I got to thinking about Noah and his family, the remnant of eight people out of the whole world. They got their tap root down into the Word of God, didn't they? Yes? Yes, they did. I want you to just think for a minute with me about Noah and his family. He lived in one of the most wicked times. There was nobody serving God around him. Just think about him now. Think about him and his family. He lived in the most wicked time in history on the earth. He couldn't get down the street and find a neighbor that was serving God. They wasn't serving God. There was nobody serving God. Nobody worshiped God. Amen? Just ponder, think about it. Now, can you just imagine for a minute what kind of a guy that Noah must have been and his wife? The influence of our young people today is unbelievable. And I'm not condemning them or judging any young person. I'm just saying, young people, if you're here today, you are getting hit with stuff that I never get hit with. You agree? Never get hit with it. Never got hit with the stuff that the young people are doing today. But I want you to think for a minute about Noah and his kids. Just think about his kids. Nobody serving God around them. So Noah says to them, it says, now kids, you can either work with me and build an ark for 120 years, or go out into the world and have a ding-dong time. True? What an awesome thing that those kids said, Dad, we're going to stick with you. That's taproot stuff, isn't it? They had to have the taproot of their soul into the depth of God's soil for them to ever be able to influence. I could tell you right now, in fact, I remember sharing with you the last time I was here about a pastor that come to me some time ago talking to me about his kids and where they're at and how the culture has taken them right out. I'm not talking negative. Amen. We're talking positive stuff. We're talking about the real deal. We're talking about the day we're living in. And that's what this whole thing is about. In Genesis 6, 8, and 9, it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. I'm telling you, if you walk with God, God will walk with you. Amen. You got to decide exactly what it is. I got to thinking about the wilderness experience that Noah and his whole family went through there. Wilderness. Isolation. Isolation. Difficult to find the truth. Everybody telling lies. Are you aware of truth? Are you aware of truth? Or do you know where truth is at? It's got to be in Jesus. Can you say amen? It's got to be in his word. It's hard today to find truth. How many of you agree? Boy, I see a few heads going like that. It is very difficult to find truth unless we get our spiritual roots and cultivate them and get into the Word of God. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I am the truth. So we have to cultivate and get into Him. Life's wildernesses is God's arrangement. You're going to get through them. Noah went through them. You're going to get through them. Amen. In Deuteronomy 2 and 1, the word says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke unto me." Who in the world told them to go into the wilderness? How many of you want to go into a wilderness in your life? Anybody? I don't think so. Well, I don't like wilderness experiences myself. Can you say amen? Wilderness experiences is part of God's creation. How many of you have ever been out west? You ever travel? Boy, you're really quiet. Are you normally quiet like this? In the have you ever traveled out west? Yes. You ever been out in the wilderness out west? Yes, I see some head shaking. Yeah. Wilderness experiences. You get out there sometimes and you think, what the world am I doing here? How did I even get in here? Amen. So it's part of God's physical creation, but it's also part of God's arrangement for us, for you in your life. How many of you, maybe I better ask a question, how many of you have ever gone through a wilderness experience in your life? Oh, I'm finally seeing some hands going up. Wilderness experiences. The Apostle Paul applies the wilderness experiences of Israel at that time to the Christian experience. Did you know that? He applies it to you. He applies it to me. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, he says, "Now all these things happened to them," that's the Israelites, "as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age has come." Do you realize that what he's talking about was all of it happened in the wilderness? That's where they were. That's exactly what God is dealing and telling you and telling me what it is. All these things happen to them as examples for you, upon whom the end of the ages has come. So I thought, you know, we're learners. We're learners, and God's wilderness experiences are our teachers. It isn't to make us bitter. It isn't to turn us off. They were singing, "We're not forsaken." No, we're not forsaken. God has not forsaken you. He is not forsaking us. He will not do that. But it's getting into the depth of God and learning and understanding what it is. I got to thinking about Moses. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. All of it. But his encounter with God taught him. On the backside of the desert, he was there for 40 years, and it taught him how to be a leader. God taught him the experience. It wasn't the education. It's getting the taproot down into the depths of God, and he'll speak to you. He'll show you. He'll reveal to you. Gene and I had 10 years of that in Philadelphia pastoring down there. If I told you the things that happened down there, it was wilderness experiences, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I'm country. I was born and raised in Bedford County. When you go to the city, you learn some things. You get into some wilderness experiences. Is what you go through. We had 10 years of wilderness experiences. But Moses, his experience with God at the burning bush is where he learned to be a leader. It wasn't in Egypt's hall of education. It wasn't there. So in your life, when you experience God called him to leadership in the burning bush experience. And I went back and I searched that out, jotted some scripture verses in Exodus 3:2. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." In Exodus 3:4, it says, "So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And Exodus jump down to verse 10, 3:10. And God said, here's what happened out of that experience. So when you experience a wilderness experience and you experience God, he's calling you to do something. Look what he says here in verse 10. He said, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Where'd that happen? In the halls of learning and education? Did he get educated into that? No. He experienced God in a burning bush. When you experience God in a burning bush, and God speaks to you out of that fire, of that wilderness experience, I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in your life. It'll change you forever. I've shared so many times, my wife and I went to Philadelphia pastoring for 10 years, and we went down one way, and we come back another. I'm totally changed, totally, about him, about Jesus. I know him. I thought I knew him before, but I didn't really know him. But I went to Philadelphia for 10 years, and I learned to know him and who he really is and what he really does and what he'll do for you and for me. Can you say amen? Jesus used the sword of the Spirit in his wilderness experiences to defeat Satan, and he wants you to know that. That's the taproot thing, cultivating deeper roots into Jesus than you have right now, than I have right now. We'll say all of us. The Word of God is the only weapon that will defeat Satan. Amen? Ephesians 6 and 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation, listen carefully now, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. If you want to defeat Satan in your life, you're going to have to use the sword of the Spirit. And you have to know the sword of the Spirit. That is getting your roots down into the Word of the living God, because that's the sword of the Spirit. And it's the only thing in this world that will defeat Satan. Nothing else other than the Word of God will defeat him. I don't care about our education. I don't care how many degrees we have. It doesn't matter to me at all. None of those things matter. But it's how much of the Lord do you know? How deep are your roots into the Word of the living God? Can you say amen? Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to teach us how to use the sword of the Spirit when he went in. And I just jotted a few of these verses down. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. That's on Jesus. Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus used the Word of God here to teach us how to defeat the devil. You want to know how to defeat the devil in your life? Jesus tells us, and I just jotted down a few verses of the scripture. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was tempted again. He used the sword of the Spirit. In Matthew 4:7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus was tempted again. He used the sword of the Spirit. In Matthew 4:10, it said, and Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The Spirit of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, brought Jesus victory. He's teaching us how to have victory in our lives. In Matthew 4:11, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Victory was coming. Why? Because he's teaching us how to use the sword of the Spirit. It's not words. Our words spiritually are empty. When it comes to doing something against Satan, the powers of evil that's working in our land right now, they're working everywhere. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter where you go today, you're gonna get hit. That's why, to me, we have to know the word of the living God. But then Jesus, victory was his. And it'll be yours as well when you learn to use the sword of the Spirit, not words. And I'm going to share some of that with you. In Matthew 4:17, here's what it said. This is the outcome of all that attacks that was against Jesus. He said, from that time, in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Victory. Victory. The deep roots, the tap roots of your soul has to go down into the depth of God's word. And when it comes out, and when you attack, just like Jesus was, you have victory. You end up in victory. Guarantee you in victory. Words will not cut it. To hurry here, I see I'm about out of time. But I heard a doctor that was an abortionist, and he got delivered, and anyway, he made a statement. How many of you go to the pro-life? How many is involved with pro-life? Anybody? No? Well, it was at a banquet, the pro-life banquet. And the doctor was an abortionist, and he got saved. Jesus saved him, and he was sharing. He was the spokesman at that banquet. And he said this. He said, we are living in a day. He was talking about witnessing to other doctors that were abortionists and doing the things that abortionists do. And he said to them, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, we're living, and he was talking to the whole group that was there, pro-life. He said, we're living in a day that is beyond words. And boy, when he said that, it's just like Joyce, the Spirit of God just and took a sword and put that in the depths of my soul. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus didn't speak his own words. Mm-mm. He said, it is written. 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 What's that mean? That means you better know what's written. Amen? It's really self-evident what Jesus was doing, teaching us to understand eating the word of the living God. I want to take you into this for the time that I have. God said, eat the word and speak it to them. To whoever you're witnessing or whatever you're doing. Jesus spoke it to Satan and defeated him. And at the end of it, he was called to preach the word and preach the word. Total victory to preach the word. That's where it come from. It come from using. But listen closely now. A lot of people today are practicing religion. Christianity even. Practicing that. But there's a big difference in eating the word of God and speaking the living word of God. Can you say amen? There's a big difference in practicing religion or eating the word of the living God. What Jesus is saying here, what I'm going to take you into, he's not talking about recreational reading. Recreational reading, and I'm not against the daily bread. I read the daily bread. I get the daily bread. I do. I get it. But listen carefully. So many Christians has got recreational reading. Read the daily bread. Say a prayer. God bless me today. Help me today. Watch over me today. And take off. Recreational reading, reading the Word. I'm going to read a chapter, and I'm going to read it in 3 minutes. Recreational reading. He is not talking about recreational reading. Many Christians, I'm not saying you, but many Christians that I know, they are involved in recreational reading. So the victory, the taproot of their soul, is not going into the depths of the Lord, into the depths of His Word. When His Word is in you, in the depths of your being, the Spirit of God will pick that Word up just when you need it. And He'll bring it to your mind, your heart. You don't have to remember what you're reading. That's not your job. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He will bring to you remembrance everything Jesus said that I've said. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. People come to me and say, well, I don't read the Word anymore because I can't remember everything I read. I said, you don't have to remember anything you've read. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Can you say amen? That's what He said. That's what He said, church. He said the Holy Spirit will bring to you remembrance. Jesus said, every word that I have uttered, and you have put your deep roots down into the being, and you put it in your soul. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance when you need it. Many Christians are recreational reading because they cannot remember what they read. Lie. It's not truth. There's no truth in that. Can you say amen? No amens. Thank you. Thank you. Listen carefully. I'm going to take you into what Jesus said to conclude this message. The Word of God must always become flesh. Now listen closely. Before it can be given to those who need it. The Word of God must become flesh before it can be given to those that need it. It has to become flesh. Now listen, I'm going to share His scripture. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. The Word of God must be made flesh in you today. Not a bit different. That's what He's saying. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. God still wants the Word to be made flesh in you. And I'm going to share that scriptures with you in just a minute. We're living in a day that's beyond words. It's by the Spirit of the living God and by the Word of the living God that anything's going to be accomplished today, or people's ready to fight you, they're ready to argue with you, and you will not win them. We're beyond words, that doctor said. And it's absolutely true. But God's Word, I went back in the scripture and I found out what He's talking about here. God's Word is compared to food. All through the scripture. Bread, Matthew 4:4. Milk in 1 Peter 2. Meat in 1 Corinthians 3. Honey in 1:19. I could go on and on. But it's referred to as food. Food. Jesus said in 6:51 in John, He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I shall give him, which I shall give for the life of the world. How can we eat the flesh of God? How can we eat His flesh? We eat His Word. The Word was made flesh. Are you with me? The Word was made flesh. God wants the Word to be made flesh in every one of you. That when you walk out and you go to the grocery store, you go wherever you go throughout the week, they're going to know the Word of the living God has been born in you. Because you got your tap roots of your soul down to the depths of God's Word. Can you say amen? He tells us, church, to eat. Eat the Word. The Word was made flesh. So what does eating the Word really mean? What does it mean? It means devouring the Word. It's another word. If you search it out, you'll find it says devouring. Consuming the Word. Consuming the Word. Assimilate the Word. Assimilate the Word of God in you. Don't go to where you understand everything or whatever. You dig into words and you understand exactly what they're saying. So how deep today, how deep are your taproots in the Word of the living God? You have to answer that. I cannot answer that. I know as a pastor, I pastored a lot of years, and I'm telling you, I study the Word of God. I dig into it by the day, by the day, by the day. I spend hours digging into the Word of the living God. Taproot. Yes, I've read it, but there's things I've never seen. And you've never seen. None of us has ever seen it. So many today are not eating the Word of God. Listen closely to what the Lord says about this. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Ezekiel ate the roll or the word and spoke God's word to others. Listen carefully now. Ezekiel 2:9-10. "Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he stretched it out before me, and there was writing on the inside and the outside, talking about the word of the living God." Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-4. Listen carefully to what God tells you to do, tells me to do, tells all of us. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that you find. Eat this roll." Listen carefully. "Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel." Verse 2, "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels," bowels means heart, "with this roll that I will give you. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them." Eat my word. Eat it. Is that what he's saying? Yes, he is. Eat his word. Eat his word. And he tells you, after you and I have ate his word, then we go speak it to others. Is that what he says? It's what he says. Speak it. You can speak all the words you want to out of the light of your natural mind, and it won't mean a ding-dong thing to people today. They've got to see God in you, and the words coming out of your mouth has got to have power, and the power in the words that's coming out of your mouth has got to be the words of the living God. Can you say amen? That's what Jesus is saying. It isn't me. We don't have the smarts. I don't have the smarts to be able to do it, but Satan attacked Jesus. Think about this scripture. And Jesus came back to Satan, and he said, "It's written." And Satan tempted him again, and Jesus said, "It's written." He tempted him again, he said, "It's written." And Satan left him. Why did he leave? Because the man had doctorates, 3 doctorates or 6 or 7 doctorates? No. He was speaking the word of the living God. Power. power is in the Word. Can you say amen? Boy, you're quiet this morning. I hope I haven't lost you. In Ezekiel 3:10, he says, "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears." Hear with your ears. The Apostle John ate the word and prophesied. People today, I just got to tell you real quickly. I'm going to tell you what you're finding. You're finding a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors. You have an echo in Christianity. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in Christianity, you have nothing but an echo. Not the power of the word. It's an echo of the word. Revelation 10, verse 8 through 11. Listen closely to what he says. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. He said unto me, Take it and eat it." What's he saying, church? Eat the word. Before you go to say anything to anybody, you got to eat the word. And what comes out of your mouth has got to be the word. The power is in the word. There's no other nothing in heaven or earth that would defeat Satan other than the word of the living God. Jesus said it's settled in heaven forever. It's settled. But yet many Christians don't do it. They talk. It's an echo. It's not the word, it's an echo. Can you say amen? I hope I haven't lost you in this. But and then he goes on and he said, "Take it and eat it." Verse 9. "I went to the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. He said unto me, Take it and eat it up." I love that word up. He didn't say just eat it. He said eat it up. All of it. Eat it up. "And it shall make your belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me," now listen what he's saying to you and to me. He said, verse 11, "You must prophesy again before many people, nations, tongues, and kings." What was he going to prophesy? You know, I've been in churches and filling in like I am here today. People come to me to say, "Boy, Pastor, you use a lot of the word." Some lady came up to me some time ago, and I looked at her. I was sort of shocked, and I said, "Well, what else would I use?" Well, she didn't say anything. What else could I come here and share with you if it isn't from the word? Can you say amen? You gotta speak the word. That's what Jesus is saying here. Many Christians and ministers, they're not eating the word. I'm not condemning them, whatever they want to do. You're free to do whatever you want to do. Can you say amen? I'm here filling in for Pastor John because we're friends, and I'm going to walk out the door and you say, "That guy's a kook." I mean, it may be because he wanted to talk about was the word of God. Well, that's true. I have nothing else to say. I really don't. Nothing else other than just the word of God. That's about what it is. But see, here's what we can do. We can sing the right songs. We can use the right Christian jargon or vocabulary. We can pray the right prayer. But it may not be connected. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be connected. Jeremiah 20 and 9. I'm going to hurry. I see I'm out of time. She told me I had to be over by 11:30. So I got to do this quick. Jeremiah 20 and 9. "His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary holding it back, and I could not." You can't do it. You just can't do it. People ask me, they said, "Well, Pastor, we thought you retired." I said, "I've never learned to spell that." Jeremiah 23:29, God says this. He said, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Yeah, it is. It is like a fire. It's a great purifier. It'll purify. That's exactly what it'll do. It'll remove everything that's fake and false right out of the heart, out of our heart first. Can you say amen? It'll deal with me and deal with you first. And like he said, like a hammer, crushing everything. Everything that's evil in the heart. Do you know why? Because the Lord says the pure in heart, the pure in heart shall see God. I'm not talking about eternity. We're talking about today. We're talking about the pure in heart shall see God. Do you want to see God? You better get your heart purified. And the only thing that's going to purify it is going to be the word of the living God. I can't purify. Can you say amen? But his word will purify. And the last thing I have, not the last thing, I'm going to close without saying the last thing. Amen. Luke 24:32. And they said to one another, talking about Jesus now, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked? Jesus talked. On the road to Emmaus, this is what he's talking about. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? While he opened the scriptures. God wants to prophesy to this generation outside this church. And he wants to do it through you. There's no doubt to me about that. He wants to do it through you. But don't use your own words. Don't go to your education. Don't go to the light of your mind. You got to pray and say, Jesus, what do you want said? And the Lord, the Spirit of the living God, will bring the Word of God into your heart and your mind. He'll bring it to you. And you can speak His Word, and it will be fruitful. He says it would be fruitful. It was fruitful for Jesus. Jesus showed us exactly what to do and how to do it. Can you say amen? Stand with me, please, if you would. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your lessons. We're thankful for the wilderness experiences in our life. But help us to see them the way you want us to see them. Lord, let your word work in these precious people's lives in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help them, Jesus, to eat the book. To get their taproot every day of their lives. Down into the depths of your being. The love soil. We've singing this morning and worshiping you and talking about love. But you are love. And you want us to come into the depths with our taproot into your being. And receive from you firsthand. That you, Jesus, would lay your hand on every person that's in this place today. Changing minds and changing hearts. Father, that every person here, the pure in heart, shall see you. God, we want to see you. So purify our heart as we get into your word, as your word works with us and does in us what you want it to do. That, Father, then your word be prophesied to those around us. Your word says over and over again, eat the book and go prophesy what you have said to them. You are the powerful one. You're the glorious one. You are beautiful. You indeed are beautiful. What a beautiful being you are. What a love you have for humanity. And you want to use the people and this church to be able to do it. In this area, in Jesus' name we come. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.